This morning I want to talk to you about between the promise and the victory. Between the promise and the victory. Go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 20 and 2 Kings chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to begin with Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to look at one verse. It's verse 28. Verse 28 says, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy." Again, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 7. This begins talking about the king of Israel named King Jehoram. Verse 7 begins, "And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, 'The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?' And he said, 'I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses.' And he said, 'Which way shall we go up?' And he answered, 'The way through the wilderness of Edom.' So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What do I have to do with you? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and to the prophets of thy mothers." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely if it were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you, your cattle, and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor, and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, 'This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil.' And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, that Lord, you uphold your people by mercy and truth. And I thank you that your heart of mercy and the truth of your word is here today. And Lord, would you just let it fall upon humble hearts, hearing hearts today, Lord. Lord, I thank you that when we have a humble heart to hear truth and allow truth to speak into the captivated places of our life, God, where there's always truth, there's always freedom. Because it's the truth that makes us free. So, Father, speak to us from your word today. This is what is on your heart this morning. And give us humble hearts to hear it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our story, the king of Moab begins to rise up and attack the nation of Israel, oppress the nation of Israel. And the king of Israel, who is King Jehoram, he knows that his nation, Israel, is outnumbered and outarmed, and the victory is surely going to go to the enemy. So King Jehoram, he goes to two kings. He goes to King Jehoshaphat of the king of Judah, and he goes to the king of Edom, and he says, I want you to make an alliance with me. Let's put our power together. Let's join forces and rise up and smite this evil tyrant, this nation of Moab, and let's free ourselves from their yoke forever. And so these two kings, Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom, they join alliances with him, and they go to battle against the king of Moab. And just jumping ahead in the story, we saw at the end of the story that the Lord gave them the victory, that the Lord placed the power of his spirit upon these three kings, and they defeated the nation of Moab. And it's a great victory, as we read in the story. But what I feel like the Lord wants us to understand today is that between the promise of victory and the victory itself, there's a journey that they have to take. That before the actual victory comes, there's a wilderness that they have to cross, and there's a truth that has to be revealed, and it's a truth that's important for us to understand this morning. So they have the promise of victory, but there's a journey they have to take in between the promise and seeing the victory, because there's a truth that needs to be revealed, and I believe the Lord is saying it's a truth that we need to understand this morning. So I want you to look with me at verse 9 and 10. Going back to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass, a 7 days journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So here are these three kings, and they take their armies and they pursue after the king of Moab and his armies. And for whatever reason, they decide to go through the wilderness of Edom. And it proves to be a very costly mistake. It proves to be a tragic mistake, because they go 7 days journey into the wilderness and they have no water. They run out of water and all the water hose are dried up. There's no water for them. And what happens is, when you really look at it, they're in a place of terrible thirst and dehydration and sunstroke and weakness and misery. And if they were to turn around and try to journey back 7 days to the place where they're out of the desert, to the place that where there is water, the chances are that many of them are going to be lost, if not all of them are going to be lost. So they are in a very dire place. But yet, this morning, what I want us to understand, that as harsh as this may sound, this is really God's mercy upon the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. You see, King Jehoshaphat, he's not a perfect king, but he's a godly king. He does have a heart for the Lord. He's what the Bible calls a man of God. But see, he made a very tragic mistake. He made an alliance with a very ungodly king, with a very unholy man. And he made an alliance with something that God's not smiling upon, that the displeasure of the Lord is upon. And so what the Lord is doing here is he's getting Jehoshaphat's attention. You see, God understands that if he allows Jehoshaphat to continue in the unholy alliance without any regard for the Lord, it could eventually take him to a place of disobedience. that Jehoshaphat's heart could gradually begin to turn. And so God is using this to get his attention. You see, when this unholy king, when this very wicked king came to Jehoshaphat and said, I need your help. You don't see Jehoshaphat saying, well, I need to weigh it out before the Lord. I need to take it to prayer. No, Jehoshaphat was very quick to run into this alliance with this king. And he said, my men are your men and my horses are your horses. My chariots are your horses, with no regard for the Lord. And he made this unholy alliance. And so the Lord is using this to get his attention because he knows the path that this could eventually lead Jehoshaphat upon. That if Jehoshaphat's running with this man with no regard for the Lord, he knows that something can get into Jehoshaphat's heart and eventually just take him into a place of disobedience. And so the Lord is using this to get his attention. And beloved, let me just say that God's plan worked. Look with me at verse 9. It says, so the king of Israel went to the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass, a 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, here's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So in this desolate desert place where all looks like it's going to be lost, Jehoshaphat asks if there's a prophet among them. And what I want us to see here is Jehoshaphat is a godly man and his heart is open to truth. Because he's a godly man, he's not afraid to be confronted by truth. So in this dire situation, something comes into his heart that says, you know what, I just need to hear a word of truth here. I need to hear a word from the Lord that's truth to its very essence. I just sense in my heart that God is trying to speak here. So he inquires for a prophet, because a prophet is a man of truth. And beloved, this is a wonderful lesson for us today, that when we love the Lord, we don't have to be afraid of truth. When we love the Lord, we don't have to dread truth. When we have a heart that's following after the Lord, we never have to fear hearing what truth wants to say to our heart. You know, Proverbs says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Listen, mercy always accompanies truth. And when we allow God to deal with us on the grounds of truth, there will be great mercy. Jesus says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. That the product of truth is freedom. Truth will always set us free. So the story tells us that as God's people who love the Lord and are following after him, we don't have to fear truth because mercy and freedom will always follow truth. And it's very plain to see in the story that King Jehoshaphat is beginning to sense that something's wrong, that something's not right here. You can see he's beginning to sense, and I really believe it's by the Holy Spirit, he's beginning to sense that, you know what, this whole circumstance is the hand of God, that God is trying to get my attention, that there's something here that God is not in agreement with, God is not in alignment with. And he's trying to get my attention here. But in this place of desperation, I believe it's very possible that King Jehoshaphat can be remembering his great grandfather's words. Solomon wrote in his words, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld in mercy. And so though King Jehoshaphat is feeling that he's under the disapproval of the Lord, he's under the displeasure of the Lord, there's a hope that's in his heart that, listen, in this place that I'm in right now, if I will open my heart to truth and allow God to speak to me in truth, mercy is going to follow that truth. And freedom is going to follow that truth. And the power to move out of this place of captivity will follow that truth. If I will just humble my heart to hear what the Lord is saying. And so word comes back to King Jehoshaphat that the prophet Elisha is close by. Beloved, isn't it so amazing that even in desert places, even in places where man's strength can never survive, truth is always to be found for those who desire it. Isn't that amazing? And this is God's great mercy towards us, that no matter how desolate our desert, no matter how deep our pit, no matter how dark our darkness, when we open our hearts to truth, truth will always be there to set us free. Thank God for His mercy. I don't know about you, but I've been in some pits that are pretty deep. I've been in some deserts that are pretty dry. And I've been in some darkness that's pretty dark. But thank God the darkness can never overcome the light when your heart is open to hear what God wants to say in truth. Amen. Jehoshaphat knows Elisha's reputation as a man of God, a man of truth, because he responds, the word of the Lord is with him. So they go to Elisha. And do you know what I appreciate about Jehoshaphat? He doesn't say, maybe Elisha has some water. He doesn't say, well, maybe Elisha has a well that we don't know about. He doesn't even mention the water. You see, I really believe Jehoshaphat is sensing this is not about water. The issue here is not about water. The issue here is God wants to deal with something in my life. That's the issue. God owns 1,000 cattle on a hillside, and I'm sure He owns 1,000 wells on the hillside. It's not about water. It's about something in my life God wants to deal with. And so Jehoshaphat isn't looking for an easy way out. He wants to know what God wants to speak to him. And the question becomes, in desert places, in hard places, are we just looking for easy ways out? Or do we really want to know what's on God's heart? Is it that we just want His promises of deliverance, but we're not really interested in the issues He wants to deal with in my life? Beloved, do you know how many people come to church and they worship Him and they praise Him for His deliverance? But yet when a word of correction comes to their heart, they get offended and they harden their heart. Amen. How many people come to church and they lift up their hands and they sing and worship Him and praise Him for their deliverance? But yet when God wants to use leadership or wants to use even the conviction of His Spirit to deal with something in their life, they harden their heart to it. They don't want to hear it. Amen. Because pride rises up. Can I just share with you something God spoke to me about pride? Pride is the lock that will keep your prison doors locked. Amen. I say it again. Pride is the lock that will keep your prison doors locked. Pride is the very thing that will hold you in your place of captivity, because when we can't humble our heart to truth, then pride, that lock of pride, will stay locked on that prison door and keep us in captivity. Pride is the one lock that keeps us in captivated places. Amen. Now, look with me at verse 12. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now, I want to emphasize those last four words in verse 12. Went down to him. Listen, this speaks to me of humility. Speaks to me of humbling yourself. You see, these are three kings. They could have sent messengers to go fetch, good old southern expression, go fetch Elisha. But the Bible says that they went down themselves, and it speaks of humility. Beloved, there are just times when it takes a heart, a humble heart, to hear truth, because truth is going to mean letting go of pride and opening our heart to correction. Or it can mean opening our heart to hear things that the desires of our own heart don't want to hear. You know, sometimes it really takes humility to open our heart to truth. Can I just say it? Many don't want to hear what God is going to say because they already know what He's going to say. They already know something their heart has embraced that's not according to God's will. Or they already know where they are moving in an area of disobedience. Or they already know what God is going to say about, this is not my will for your life. You need to let it go. And so they don't want to hear it. So it takes a humbleness of heart to let go of our pride and let go of our own desires and walk the path that God is setting before our lives. But I want to tell you something. When we harden our heart and we say, God, these are just some places in my life. I don't want to hear truth. I'm telling you, those places become places of captivity. Those places become places where the darkness begins to come and the darkness begins to set in. And it's not about moving in a path where you lose your salvation or anything like that. It's just about these are become places of captivity because the presence of God is not free to rule and reign there. And so these desires that we thought we wanted, they become heavy yokes around the neck. These disobedient paths that we walk on, they actually become places of present. They become presence of joy and no peace and no fulfillment in God. They become places where God says, okay, I'll give you your desires, but I'm going to send leanness into the soul. If that's what you want, if that's what you want to persist in, if that's what you're going to say, God, it doesn't matter what your will says. My desires go this way, and this is the path I'm walking. God says, okay, I'm going to let you walk that path. I'm going to let you have the things that you think you want, but you're going to understand something. They're not going to satisfy you. And you're going to find out they become places of darkness and captivity and burden and bondage. But yet, when you humble your heart to hear truth, and you begin to walk in it, that's when the freedom and the power and the blessings begin to flood into these places of captivity. Sometimes it does take a humble heart to hear truth, because pride always wants to rise up and say, no, let's keep this prison door shut. Let's keep it locked. Amen. So they go to Elisha. And what was the prophet's response? Look with me at verse 14 and 15. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look toward you, King Jehoram. I would not even open my mouth and say anything. Verse 15. But because Jehoshaphat is with you and he's seeking truth, I just interjected that part. Now bring me a minstrel. It came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. So Elisha began to seek God's counsel by calling a musician to play music. And Elisha began to worship the Lord in his heart. And Jehoshaphat suddenly found himself standing in a place of worship. And can you imagine the hope that must have filled his heart? In this place of hopelessness. In this place of powerlessness. In this place where there is just no strength to move forward. It has now become a place of truth and worship. The incredible hope, the incredible light that must begin to fill his heart. Look at verse 16. And Elisha then said, thus saith the Lord. Stop. And Elisha then said, thus saith the Lord. In other words, Elisha is saying, be of good cheer. God is again speaking to you. God is opening his word to you again. In this waterless place, in this lifeless place, in this powerless place, in this captivated place, the power of God's word is moving on your behalf again. Be of good cheer. All right, let's finish verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Verse 17. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. So verse 16, he says, make this valley full of ditches. In other words, here's what he's saying. The strength of God is with you again. The hope of God is with you again. If you weren't hearing a word from the Lord, I'm sure there would be no strength in you to break out your shovels and start digging in this hard, patched, barren ground. But there's a hope in your heart. There's a strength in your heart. There's a strength to rise above your hopelessness. There's a strength to rise above your despair. There's a strength to rise above your own strengthlessness and dig in this hard, cracked, barren ground because God is with you again. The strength of God is with you again. And then in verse 17, he says, "For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts." In other words, this is what Elisha is saying. Be of good cheer. God has not left you to the natural. Your hope is not in natural things like rain clouds and rain that gives water. God himself is going to fill the ditch with water. And to the New Covenant Christian, it speaks of natural strength and abilities. God is saying, be of good cheer. God has not left you to your natural strength and your natural abilities because your strength and your abilities are powerless. It's God's strength that's going to move in this place for you and provide you with what you need. Look with me at verse 20. "It came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that behold there came water by the way of Edom and the country was filled with water." Amen. I'm going to emphasize that part. There came water by the way of Edom. Why is that important? Because if you study Edom, if you get out a map and study Edom, Edom is right next to the Dead Sea. They call it the Dead Sea for a reason. Because everything in it is dead. Everything that surrounds it is dead. There's absolutely no life that can come out of Edom. There's absolutely, the Dead Sea can produce absolutely no life. And if you were standing at the Dead Sea, looking at the Dead Sea, in your heart, you would say, there's absolutely no way life can come out of this. Absolutely no way life can come out of this. Now, if we fast forward to many generations and we were standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was being crucified, we would look at Jesus on the cross and say, there's absolutely no life that can come out of this. What possible life can come out of all this death? And yet we know it was through the cross that Jesus defeated death in the grave. And what I'm simply saying is in our most captivated places, in our most lifeless places, in our where those places where it just seems like the power of death is reigning the most, I'm telling you, when we open our heart to truth, when we humble our heart to hear truth, that's when the resurrection power of Christ is going to flow through the cross, flow from the cross into those powerless places, and you're going to find yourself filled with power and life and victory again. Be able to capture that. It's when we open our hearts, humble our hearts to hear truth, that the resurrection power of Christ that flows down from the cross, that it begins to intervene in these places of death. I'm telling you, when it looks like your marriage is about to die, when a man and woman opens their heart and says, God, what do you have to say? What is the things you want to speak in our marriage? I'm telling you, that's when life, supernatural life, will flow from the cross into that marriage, and those things that couldn't be healed will suddenly find themselves healed. In those circumstances in our life where we find ourselves captivated, when we find ourselves powerless, when it seems like we're being consumed by the enemy, God says, if you'll just humble your heart, open your heart to hear truth here, mercy and freedom will always follow truth. And you're going to find out that even in these captivated, dark, powerless, dead places, even my life will flow into these places. And there will be life. But the question is, do you want to hear truth? Is your heart open to hear truth? And what's the bottom line? The bottom line is verse 24. says, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. So what's the bottom line? Victory. What's the bottom line? Power to move forward again. What's the bottom line? Power to move out of those places that are holding us in captivity. And one more time, begin to walk in everything that God has for us. In every area of our life. That's the bottom line. Amen. The Lord says the bottom line is freedom. You don't have to be captivated by your own desires that keep you in a prison. And you don't have to be captivated by the places of disobedience in your heart that keep you in prison. If you're hungry for freedom, if you're hungry to say, God, I'm sorry for being stubborn. I'm sorry for persisting in this place of disobedience. I see the prison that it has become for me, and I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I'm ready to let truth speak to my heart. God is saying, good, because now we're ready to go forward again. You don't have to play church anymore. You know, before Nathan came to David, David just played church. When you study it out, after Bathsheba got pregnant and Uriah was murdered, it was about a year before brother Nathan came to his brother. So all that time, David's in church and he's reading the Psalms and he's playing his harp and he's putting on a good face. But in his heart, he knows, I'm not right with God. Even the Psalm says that his bones grieved within him. But when Nathan came and said, David, you're the man. You know what I think came into David's heart? I thank you, God, you didn't have the strength. You had the strength that I didn't have. God, you had the strength I didn't have. You had the strength to bring my sin into the light and set me free. God, I didn't have that strength. I thank you, you had the strength. And I know it's not an easy road that lies ahead of me. I know there are going to be consequences for disobedience. But God, I thank you that I'm free again to worship. I thank you that I'm free again to walk with you in truth. I thank you that the prison of my own heart, the door has been opened. And one more time, mercy and truth is going to preserve the king. I thank you. Stand with me this morning. So, Pastor Tim, what does this have to do with us today? What does this have to do with us today? Well, this is going to be my altar call. You know, there are times the Lord brings us into desert places, not because of disobedience, but because, one more time, I just want you to look to me for your strength. I just want you to look to me for your resources. You know, it was in the desert place where Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and he looked it up to heaven, acknowledging, God, you are my sufficiency in this place. But in this story, this isn't the case. You see, Jehoshaphat knew in his heart, I'm in this strengthless place because there's an area in my life that I've refused to line up with God's will. There's an area in my life where God is just trying to get at something. And deep in my heart, I know what it is. And this something has brought me into a place of captivity. And maybe there are people here today and you found yourself in a desert place. You found yourself in a pit because you know you're holding on to something God keeps saying let go of. If you're having to try to think of what it is, then the Lord's not talking to you. But if you already know in your heart, I know those places in my life. I know those places in my heart. God has been telling me, let go, let go, let go. This is an area of disobedience. This is an area of disobedience. But I have persisted in and I haven't let go. And now it's become a place of captivity. But the Lord is saying, today, mercy and truth is here to set you free. If you repent, open your heart to let my word speak in this area of your life, you're going to find freedom. You're going to find freedom. Amen. So, it's going to take a humble heart. But I'm just going to give it to you as the Lord gave it to me. You know, I had to search my own heart. Just everybody bow your head with me. Pastor Tim, there's a place in my life where I know I've been persisting in disobedience. Or there's been a desire in my heart I've been following after, and God has been saying, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And yet I persisted in it. But it's become a place of captivity. But the good news is I hear God calling me to freedom. It may be for one. It may be for many. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But I know there's somebody the Lord wants to set free. Because you've imprisoned yourself in disobedience. So if that's you this morning, why don't you just meet me here in this altar and let me pray for you this morning. Amen. Come on. Pride is the lock that will keep your prison door locked. Don't let pride get in the way. We all make this altar call in our lives at one time or another. Now, this is just between you and the Lord. God, I thank you for calling me to a place of freedom. I thank you, like Jehoshaphat, you have made a way out of this prison, this pit that I have found myself in because of disobedience. And God, I want to thank you. This isn't a feeling guilty time. This is a thank you time, Lord. May I have a piano player, please? That would just help me. So this is just between you and the Lord. So just take a moment to talk to him. Take a moment to give over to him. Whatever you need to give over, just give it over to him. But begin to thank him for his call to freedom. Begin to thank him for his call to move forward. Begin to thank him for his mercy and truth this morning. You know what I really sense the Lord wants to do? I really sense he wants to turn this into a place of worship. You know, Elisha turned it into a place of worship. And being down here, it's not a morbid thing. We're here to rejoice in freedom. I can tell you Jehoshaphat was rejoicing. So I want to turn it into a place of worship. So can everyone just stand? Come on, let's stand. And I'm just going to ask Caitlin if you could just lead us in a song. And let's just take a moment to worship the Lord. Because freedom is a marvelous thing. Amen. 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 You know, I just look at everyone that came to the altar and man, all I see people that just love God. Love the Lord. I don't feel, because I know each one of you personally, I don't feel like anybody, the Lord is, in this message, the Lord is saying, you are a disobedient child. Please don't walk away feeling like that. There are just times the Lord has to get our attention. Has to get our attention. And I really feel like the Lord is saying to you, okay, the door is open now. Walk out. I give you the strength to walk out. you know, those things that you know, the path that you know I'm leading you, those things that I'm calling you to, begin to follow after him. I'll give you the strength. And you know, I thank God he knows how to open our prison doors, doesn't he? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today. Just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that God, you just know how to come and get our attention when you need to get our attention. And Lord, you know how to just open our prison doors, God. Sometimes prison doors that we've placed our own selves behind. God, I thank you that in your mercy and truth, you know how to come and open these kind of prison doors, Lord. And I just ask, God, would you just, as a collective people here together, give us humble hearts that can hear, even when it's hard to hear. Even when it means letting go of our pride. Because God, you've made that so real to me. Pride is the one lock that will stay locked and keep you in your captivated places. Lord, give us humble hearts, hearing hearts, God. And Lord, continue to open prison doors of great freedom in our lives, Lord, as we just rejoice in your truth and love your truth and walk in your truth, Lord. Thank you for that, God. And Lord, we just glorify you, Lord, what you've done in lives today. We thank you. God, we thank you, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do that.